Hello, everybody. This is Flurries on Films. This week, we're talking about Memento.
Hit the music. Ba-dum-bum.
Hey, everybody. I'm Michael Flaherty.
I'm Colleen Flaherty.
And this
is a podcast called Flaherty's on Films. We're talking about movies.
This week, we're talking about the movie Memento.
It is shocking how bad we are at this, considering we've done 8,000 episodes.
Do we want to like restart or something?
No.
Okay. All right. Here, I'll read a description of this movie. Memento. Yeah, it's Memento's the episode. A man with short-term memory loss attempts to track down his wife's murderer. Great synopsis. I think that was just absolutely perfect.
They should have said dot, 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 but backwards.
Actually, you're right. That's sort of the whole point of the movie is that's backwards.
That's the gimmick. I feel like if you say memento too much, it gets a bit word salad-y.
Right.
Like mento.
It should be called backwards movie or evamome. That's movie backwards. Clay, what did you think of the movie?
I like a gimmick, so I was into it. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I sat through 80 minutes, and then I said, how novel? You know what I mean?
Here's another problem I have. I can never remember Guy Pearce's name until I remember every other famous person named Guy. So I have to go like, Guy Ritchie, Guy Fieri, then I get to Guy Pearce. I don't know why.
Guy Pearce is my number one, actually, because
your number one guy?
That's my number one guy, because I had a roommate who really liked this movie, and he was always like, Guy Pearce, so cool, he should be in more things, and I think he's right. I think he is awesome. Yeah.
I think Guy is the dumbest name, though.
I love it.
Oh, it's a boy. What do you want to name it, Guy? I'm not asking for synonyms. I'm asking for names.
You're acting like you've never seen Doug, because Guy was a character in Doug. And I think he was just a chill bro. I don't really remember.
I don't remember Guy in Doug, to be honest with you.
I think Patty was in love with Guy. And that was a point of contention. Because Doug was in love with Patty.
Guy from Doug.
Yeah, let's get an update on this.
Guy Graham. Oh, he looks cool.
Guy Graham. What a great name.
That's a good name. I'm coming around to Guy.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so this movie is... Do we have any more
you've
words?
Seen this before because your roommate was obsessed with it.
Yeah, I saw it before. I didn't really remember anything about it, but I have seen the film.
I saw it when I was a teenager. So I was taking this psychology class in high school, and it was my teacher's last year before he retired, and he was checked out. So we watched it for no reason that I can think of, and what an appropriate movie to show in school. Here's how checked out he was. We actually had a whole class where he did the syncing up of The Wizard of Oz to the Pink Floyd album.
Oh my gosh.
Just because.
I mean, what did you learn psychologically?
That it was just like mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but anyway, that's what I thought about Memento.
If we want to get psychological facts, there's only one place we can turn, and that's to our first segment. Bam.
Time for Sam. This is the part of the show where Sam blows our mind. Go, Sam.
Ooh, good capper.
In the summer of 1996, Christopher Nolan was moving from Chicago to Los Angeles, and his younger brother, Jonathan, decided to join him for the road trip. While they were driving, the two started talking about future projects and the idea of using anterograde amnesia came up. Now, anterograde amnesia is a medical condition that causes the inability to form new memories. It's usually caused by damage to the hippocampus, but a mild version of it is actually blacking out from drinking too much. So, we have an early question of the week for you guys today.
I've never had that. That's not the question?
That was not the question, no. In a population of 100,000 people, how many people will get anterograde amnesia in a year?
Get blackout drunk in a year.
No, like the actual someone. Oh, okay. Not mild.
Three.
I'll be honest and say what I was really gonna say, which was one, even though that's a bad guess for this game.
It's actually five.
Oh,
which isn't massive, but it's more common than I thought it was. So after the trip, Jonathan returned to Georgetown, and he wrote a short story titled Memento Mori. He would give his short story to Christopher, who would take the story and flip it backwards and turn it into a screenplay. His girlfriend, Emma Thomas, would bring the screenplay to New Market Films, and they would sign it with a budget of $4.5 million.
Damn.
So when it came to casting the first... Yeah. Sorry.
Is the word memento a word?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's like you have a family heirloom. It's like, oh, this is a memento of whatever. I think it's
something.
Right?
Yeah.
God, I feel like an idiot. Of course. Anyway,
hold on.
What if it's just a made up word? Just like gibberish.
It's a reminder of something, especially a past event or time.
They're going to name
them. I know that, you guys. I know that word. I'm not a complete idiot. It's just out of context.
They were going to name the movie Goobly Goo. And they're like, no, let's do something real.
I'll bet.
So when it came to casting, the first choice for the lead was none other than Brad Pitt. Although interested, he had a scheduling conflict. So then they moved on to Charlie Sheen, Aaron Eckhart, and Thomas Jane, who I don't know, but in like five articles I read, they all mentioned that he was an option.
Remember Arrested Development had a whole bit about Tom Jane?
No.
He was like posing as a homeless man. He's like, oh, so you're like an actor? He goes, I'm Tom Jane. You don't remember this? And Tobias was making himself blue.
Like, Lindsay was going to date this homeless guy.
Yeah.
But he's like, Tom Jane. That's...
Nope, it's coming back to me now. Yep. Yeah, so all of them were considered, but then at this point, they decided to go for a lesser-known actor, purely because it would be cheaper. And Nolan was greatly impressed with Guy Pearce's audition, so he got the part.
He is a total, like, Brad Pitt alike.
He's got that gruffness, but yet attractiveness.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah. Impressed by her performance in The Matrix, Nolan hired Carrie Ann Moss. And Dennis Leary was supposed to have the role of Teddy, but he had to leave the production. So Moss suggested her Matrix co-star, Joe Pantoliano. I'm going to leave that one to you, Michael. Do you know?
Nope.
Leary would have been pretty good. I was very excited to see Carrie Ann Moss. I don't know about you, Michael. What a treat that was.
Why?
Because I think she's very good, and I've only ever really seen her in The Matrix. It's like...
She was in Jessica Jones.
She was?
Yeah. She was the attorney.
She's someone good. Who should have had more of a career. Not fucking Guy Pearce. Guy Pearce is fine.
But I feel like Carrie Ann Moss, like even when she was young, she always looked middle-aged.
Yes, but like in a cool way.
In like a cool way, yeah.
Yeah, like in just a dignified way.
Right.
Anyway, sorry, Sam.
Oh, you're fine. So Memento would film in 25 days in California. So Pierce would be there for the whole time. Moss would only be there for the first week. And the actor who played Teddy, we're going to go with that, was only there for the last week, really. The three of them were only there for one day, and that was the first day when they all filmed together. Memento would premiere on March 16, 2001, and it would earn almost $40 million at the box office. It would be nominated for two Academy Awards, Best Original Screenplay and Best Film Editing. It would win neither. But besides getting film accolades, the medical community also embraced the film. According to renowned neuroscientist Christoph Cook, it is, quote, the most accurate portrayal of the different memory systems in the popular media. Unlike in most films in the genre. Sorry.
Just for the people at home, Finding Nemo had not come out yet. So that's why he said that.
Unlike in most films in this genre, this amnesic character retains his identity, has little retrograde amnesia, and shows several of the severe everyday memory difficulties associated with the disorder. The fragmented, almost mosaic quality to the sequence of scenes in this film also cleverly reflects the perpetual present nature of the syndrome. So basically, like, they use this film actually in some scientific communities to show how this disorder operates.
That's very surprising to me. I did not expect that that would
so
be.
So it's okay that my teacher showed me that.
Yes, look, it was actually okay. He was not phoning it in, except for The Dark Side of the Moon. That was definitely a phone in.
That was
After the film was released, Jonathan would release or would publish his original short story in the Esquire. Now, that's kind of like the big thing. This was an original screenplay nomination because the short story that it was based off of hadn't been published yet. So just a fun little technical thing. On the second edition DVD, the movie can be played in chronological order. However, to get to this version of the film, you need to solve a puzzle and answer questions on the DVD.
That's cute.
And love that.
And once you're watching it, you can't do anything. It won't let you pause or go back or forward, kind of a thing.
Why?
I don't know.
It sounds like a mistake.
No,
it sounds like a bug.
To be difficult.
I hate to respond to something you said like 8 minutes ago, but I'd be pretty pissed if I lost the Oscar for film editing. Like, what, these jokers? Like, they just edit a sequential story? Fuck off! Like, I edited a film backwards.
With my eyes closed. While I was drinking milk.
In 2017, Memento was added to the Library of Congress. Now, this isn't super interesting. The majority of the films we talk about have been added to the Library of Congress.
Interesting to me, because I was like, no way. Really? That one?
But no, what I thought was interesting is this was the first non-documentary film from the 2000s to be picked.
Just because it came out at that time. It was like the first movie.
No, because they pick all around. Well, it's. Oh. I thought it was interesting.
Sam, that was really interesting. Fact,
thank you. My final fact for you guys today. You can still visit the New Millennium Memento official website. It is at www.mementobackwardsotnemem.com. And it still is there in all of its glory.
Fantastic.
Just like Space Jam.
Just like Space Jam.
Oh. Anyway, that was...
Bam!
Time for Sam. Sam, thank you so much for those facts.
That was an awesome segment.
It blew my mind. All right, what are we doing now?
Now we're going to move on to our next segment called Critics Corner, where we read some reviews for the movie.
Michael, before we do that, I got to be honest with you. I just feel like this podcast is built on our integrity and our honesty.
Mm-hmm.
I also didn't know the actor Thomas Jane. And when I watched Arrested Development, I thought that was a made-up actor name. I didn't know that was actually... That's a much funnier joke now that I know that he's a real actor.
I think I also learned it after I saw the episode.
Okay. I'm very happy.
Because what is Tom Jane in? No one even knows.
Deep Blue Sea, apparently.
Oh, well, yeah. I forgot Deep Blue Sea.
I actually saw that movie. Anyway. This first review is from Joe Morgenstern of the Wall Street Journal. I can't remember when a movie seems so clever, strangely affecting, and slightly funny at the very same time.
Huh. All right. This review is written by T. Allen, and it was published in Amazon Reviews. Where am I? And why am I watching this movie? What happened in this scene? And what happened in that scene? If not being able to follow what happens to the narrator qualifies as unique movie making, then this is one of a kind. But that doesn't mean it's great. I walked out in the middle, and I never looked back. What, did he walk out of his own home? Just stop it.
What a writer he is.
What a writer.
This is from Peter Bradshaw of The Guardian.
Yes, Peter.
Peter. You know, usually I go to just Rotten Tomatoes and just get the top reviews, but when Peter's not there, I go look for him.
We miss him when he's not there.
We miss him. Peter Bradshaw says, Polaroids, tattooed memos, and memory loss. Christopher Nolan's witty, fragmented tale of violent double-cross probes the deepest recesses of the psyche.
Ooh, nice, Peter. Nice, Peter.
The deepest recesses? Anyway.
Just that deep. It goes in there. This one's by Matthew, who's an Amazon reviewer. love the way this starts. Here's the thing about intelligent people. They're usually,
tell me about it.
They are usually capable of getting their message across. That's the point of communication. When a story becomes twisted, warped, and difficult to follow, that does not mean it is deep, insightful, or clever. That means it's poorly put together. The five-star reviews are all from semi-literal wannabe pseudo-intellectuals who wrongly believe that liking this garbage makes them deep and insightful. Wow.
Matthew, wow. Coming in and spilling harsh. The hot tea.
Matt, man.
This is from Jonathan Rosenbaum of the Chicago Reader. More a puzzle than a meaningful story, it reminds me how Edmund Wilson compared reading a mystery to eagerly unpacking a box of Excelsior, only to discover a few rusty nails at the bottom. That's two references I don't get.
Yeah, I don't understand. I got completely lost. This last one.
Like, here's the thing about intelligent people.
Yeah. Here's the last review, and it's by Joyce. Sorry I purchased this movie. Too confusing for me to watch a movie backwards with flashbacks going backward or forward. Not my style of entertainment. So that was my choice.
4 exclamation points.
So good point. So a lot of good points raised in that review.
A lot of really good points. Why don't we just jump right in and tell the people about this film?
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Do I start?
It goes backwards.
Did we say that yet? That this movie's backwards?
It is. You guys, I hate to say this. So the guy who runs the hotel, who I only know from Sons of Anarchy, he actually has a line in the movie where he goes, "That's backwards, man." And I felt like he winked at the camera when he said it.
If only. I know he was a side character in the original Batman of Christopher Nolan. There we go. Which makes sense.
So, anyway, this film starts with a Polaroid photograph of a dead man. As the sequence plays backward, the photo reverts to his undeveloped state, entering the camera before the man is shot in the head. The film then continues, alternating between black and white and color sequences. What did you think of the black and white?
Oh, it made sense. If they didn't do the black and white, it would be too hard to see, like, oh, this is a different, this is going forward.
Liked it too, because I did like it, how it distinguished things a bit, but it wasn't too obvious, you know, like it wasn't like they were doing an effect too much, I thought.
Right. I mean, if they were just doing it for its own sake, it'd be dumb, but it had a very much a purpose.
Right.
The black and white sequences begin with Leonard Shelby, aka Guy Pearce, who I do really like. I really like Guy Pearce's performance. I thought he had a good voice. Really? I mean, I don't even think Brad Pitt would have done better. I think he did great.
I think Brad Pitt would have done this justice.
Yeah, but not like way better. Like, oh, he really did a different job. Like,
I agree. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so Guy Pearce is a former insurance investigator, and he's sitting in a motel room speaking to an unseen and unknown caller. Leonard has anterograde amnesia and is unable to store recent memories, the result of an attack by two men. Leonard explains that he killed the attacker who raped and strangled his wife, but a second clubbed him and escaped. The police did not accept that there's a second attacker, but Leonard believes that the attacker's name is John G. or James G.
I feel like a dick. He did a great job.
Do you think everyone who loves this movie, you know, like, oh man, this movie is so great, Memento, they all must in their minds think, how does he remember the murder? You know what I mean? Like, how does he remember that he has this disease?
That's a really good question.
If you're a real Memento head, you've thought about this. You probably have 8 paragraphs.
Can I say I've thought about this a lot in the last few days? Because it does seem like his memory changes, like the amount of time. But that seems realistic to me, because even if you're brain damaged, it's very elastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes a whole point about how you get new memories, and the fact that he had met someone who had retrograde amnesia, which I'm so glad Sam told us it's more common than we think, because I thought that was a weird coincidence. So yeah.
But I thought the twist that person doesn't really exist.
No, that person does exist, but he put his own memories on top of him.
What? I guess, okay. I don't understand the movie. I thought he didn't exist.
Okay, I also thought he didn't exist, but then I did some Googling and I think he does exist.
I don't think he exists.
Well, Wikipedia thinks he exists.
All right, well, I don't think he exists. I think Wikipedia's wrong.
Fair enough. So he investigates using, like, he takes notes, Polaroid photos, and tattoos. He recalls Sammy Jenkins, another antegrade amnesiac from his insurance industry days. After tests confirmed Sammy's inability to learn tasks through repetition, Leonard believed that his condition was at best psychological and perhaps faked, so he turned down his insurance claim. Sammy's distraught wife repeatedly asked Sammy to administer her insulin shot for her diabetes, hoping he would remember and would stop himself from giving her a fatal overdose. That kind of happens later in the movie.
That happens like at the very end. That's like the emotional core of it.
Yeah.
I was going to bring up Wikipedia. I think this movie's fun. You know, I think it's kind of an enjoyable movie. But I think you really have to be into that scene to really love this movie. And I was not into that scene because I thought that was so. Yeah, it's just so dumb. I thought I rolled my eyes when that happened. That she would make her husband kill her because she was just so upset. I was like, come on.
It was like, she was like, if this is going to kill me, this is the only thing that would snap him out of it.
But she'd be like, okay. You know what I mean? At the last second.
JK.
Stop. Like, come on. Like, oh, I guess I will die.
I like that actress that played Stephen Tobin's wife, who also only ever plays goofy characters. So I thought that was miscast a bit. Because he always plays goofy characters. Sorry, who plays Sammy. And then his wife is the crazy lady in Desperate Housewives. Oh. So it was like, it was weird for me.
I think that male actor was in Heroes.
Was he?
I think he was an antagonist of one of the seasons.
He was also in Glee.
We know a lot of things about TV shows. Do you want to continue?
Do I?
Yeah.
So his wife died. But that was later. And the important thing also about Sammy is, like, Sammy couldn't live because he didn't have a system. But I have a system with my notes and tattoos. So that's important.
Is it my turn? Right here, the color sequences?
Yeah.
The color sequences are shown reverse chronologically. Do you get that, audience members? This movie is backwards.
Not forward.
In the stories chronology, Leonard self-directively gets a tattoo of John G's license plate. Finding a note in his clothes, he meets Natalie, a bartender who resents Leonard because he wears the clothes and drives the car of her boyfriend, Jimmy Gratz. After understanding Leonard's condition, she uses it to get Leonard to drive a man named Dodd out of town and offers to run the license plate as a favor.
Oh my God, I'm such an idiot. I thought Dodd was her boyfriend. I got it all wrong.
Yeah.
There were a lot of parts that I was actually a bit confused about.
What?
Just because of the way it's filmed, you're kind of always filling in blanks. And I'm kind of dumb and I'm not good at paying attention to movies. So just little details. Like, how did they even meet? And then why did he trust her so much?
Yeah,
I didn't really get.
It's not totally clear.
But maybe it's not supposed to be. Maybe I think it's actually not supposed to be. So Leonard meets with a contact. He's Teddy, who helps with Dodd, but warns him about Natalie. But he doesn't go for it. Because on Teddy's post, it says, don't trust him. Mm-hmm. So Natalie provides Leonard with the driver's license for John Edward Gamel, Teddy's full name. Confirming Leonard's information on John G and his warnings, Leonard drives Teddy to an abandoned building leading to the opening where he shoots him.
Do you ever wonder if this is a waste of time? Like, it's hard enough for us to understand the movie when we watch it. Imagine someone listening to this and be like, right. Okay, I'm following along.
This is terrible because this is the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, it's also possible this is a terrible summary.
Sorry guys, it's Wikipedia's fault. I should have been paying more attention.
It's, you know, we got a couple more paragraphs and then we could talk about it some more.
Yes, sorry.
We're like halfway through this. In the final black and white sequence, prompted by the caller, Leonard meets with Teddy, an undercover officer who has found Leonard's, John G's, Jimmy, and directs Leonard to the abandoned building. When Jimmy arrives, Leonard strangles him and fatally takes a Polaroid photo of the body. Wait, this is in the beginning of the movie. I'm so confused. As the photo develops, the black and white transitions to the final colored sequence. Leonard swaps the clothes of Jimmy, hearing him whisper Sammy, as Leonard has only told Sammy's story to those he had met, and he suddenly doubts Jimmy's role.
This is the end of the movie.
I am really confused right now.
Even though it's the beginning of the story. That's right.
Okay, if you say so.
Teddy arrives and asserts that Jimmy was John G, but when Leonard is undeterred, Teddy claims that he helped him kill the real attacker a year ago. See, this is the end.
Okay.
but the beginning. So he's been using Leonard ever since. Teddy points out that since the name John G is common, Leonard will cyclically forget and begin again, and even though Teddy himself has a John G name, because it's super common. Further, Teddy claims that Sammy's story is Leonard's own story, a memory Leonard has repressed to escape guilt. Oh, maybe you're right.
Right. So it's, he is Sammy.
I guess I read a couple other stories that were like, oh, he's just imposing it on somebody he met. You're
That's
right.
What I was saying about that emotional core not working where he kills his wife, because it's actually Guy Pearce who killed his wife. And yeah. I just think that's, I was not invested in that.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Anyway.
Right here?
No, after Teddy.
After hearing Teddy confess all of this, Leonard burns the photograph of dead Jimmy, and in a monologue explains that he is willing to lie to himself in order to get justice against anyone who has wronged him. He therefore targets Teddy by ordering a tattoo of Teddy's license plate and number, writing a note to himself that Teddy is not to be trusted, so that he will mistake Teddy for John G and kill him. Leonard drives off in Jimmy's car, confident that despite his lie, he will retain enough awareness of the world to know that his actions have consequences.
So, yeah, and then in this next one. Oh, okay, never mind. So, yeah, all right. So listeners at home who've not seen this movie, it starts where he's killing Teddy. And he's like, you have no idea what this is, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, you learn that he already got revenge on his wife over a year ago, and Teddy's an undercover cop who's just like making him do these murders because he doesn't feel bad about it because Leonard doesn't feel any guilt because he doesn't remember. So in that moment, Leonard's like, I'm gonna forget all this, so I'm gonna make myself think that he's the one who killed my wife, so I kill him because he's bad for other reasons. That's basically the plot. That's the overarching thing.
Did you feel unsatisfied with that ending? I don't think here's it's bad in any way. I was just like, oh, all right.
Here's why I loved that ending. Oh, because the whole time I was like, I feel like I'm going to miss something because this movie's very, it's always trying to be clever. So I'm like, is it going to get to the end and I'm going to have no idea? But then Teddy like has 8 monologues where he explains every single thing. And I'm like, yes, thank you. Thank you for just laying everything out in plain English. So Sammy Jenkins isn't real. Here's exactly what I've been doing to you. Here's the movie you've watched so far. Go for it. Like, I really needed that. Oh, remember how I said all those things about the car and the suit? Here's why I was saying that. Later.
Can I segue to our next segment?
Yes.
Here's what I really need. Our next segment called Bro Call, where we talk to our brother.
No, Michael, then we do our good movie, bad movie. Or do we do Bro Call first?
Let's do Bro Call first, because I've already segued.
You've already segued.
I've already segued.
We can't edit this.
What am I going to? What time. Am I going to unsegue? John.
Anyway, what do you think? Our next segment, Bro Call. Bring, 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 bring.
Hey, how you doing?
John, do you remember Mr. Schaefer? Real big guy who was like, he retired.
Did he teach philosophy?
He taught philosophy and psychology.
And yes.
He showed this movie in his class.
Why?
Well, he was real checked out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That checks out then. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll allow it.
Sorry. Mikey, edit that out. That's not fun. Anyway. John, you've seen Hello. Memento. What do you think of it?
Yeah, so I saw it a few weeks ago. I had seen it like when I was in high school, and I remember very clearly from watching it then that I thought it was a really cool concept and a good movie. And I even remember, like, what was it, 20 years ago, thinking, I shouldn't watch that again. It wouldn't be as good on the rewatching. Which, you know, rewatching it a few weeks ago now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew the core concept and how it was going to twist at the end. So, yeah, I wasn't as invested in the movie, but I did get to pay attention a bit more. And I did still like it. But I don't want to think too hard about it because I'm pretty goddamn confident that that movie's going to fall apart if I really start to think about the plot in logical order. I think the fact that they're doing it forward and backwards simultaneously lets them get away with a lot of hand-wavy.
John, you can watch it in order.
I don't want to do that. I definitely don't want to do that.
Fair enough.
The one thing that you can't escape being a little bit perturbed by with the hand wavy is like, yeah, I get his disease is a real thing. And I get like, I get the premise and like, it's cool. But like, they're so hand wavy with the length of his episodes. Like some of them last a freaking day. Some of them last like 5 minutes.
They usually only last like 10 to 15 minutes. When did they last a whole day where he remembers everything?
Like the one where he split all night and drove out and then burned all the stuff and then sat down and then went and picked up a hooker. Wait, no, that was before.
Just assume that was that's things that he's remembering or he has notes. Like, you know, they, I don't know. Because I do believe that the episodes could be different lengths. Your mind is very plastic. It's
Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, I wasn't totally invested in the movie up until halfway in the running scene where he's running. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, what am I doing here? Am I chasing that guy? Oh, no, he's chasing me. I literally think this is one of those situations where Nolan came up with that scene first and then came up with a plot to design that movie around. That scene is so fantastic.
This movie is funnier than his Batman films.
Yes. Definitely funnier. That actor,
Guy Pearce,
was fantastic.
I love
said his name a lot.
I have been listening. And it's always good to see a Matrix reunion tour. But yeah, so good movie. I liked the concept. I liked the once I figured out what was going on, I liked the black and white to color and how they merged in the middle. That was fun for me. I feel this movie purports to be so much smarter than it actually is, but I'm also can't really ding it because I haven't thought hard enough about it to figure out why it's dumb. So I'm gonna give it a B+.
Nice. All right.
Kind grade.
Thank you.
You're not a kind guy.
I'm so kind. Don't listen to their lies, everyone.
John, thank you so much for joining us. All right. This is bad movie, good movie. Let's make the arguments. Michael, bad movie.
I get bad movie?
Or I can. We'll do it together.
We'll both do bad movie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I'm letting you start.
Oh, okay. The reason I think this is a bad movie is that it has a fun gimmick, but it doesn't really have anything more than that. I was thinking about like a good way to explain this, I think, is like, do you know the movie Spider-Man?
You got to be more specific.
Spider-Man starring Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst, James Franco, which is in 2001, directed by Sam Raimi. That one?
Okay, I'm with you.
So I was thinking like, I like a lot of good movies. You have a reason to go to the movie and you have a reason to stay at the movie. And the reason you might go see Spider-Man, it's like, what? He's a guy who's a spider? That's crazy. He has spider powers? Let's see. Let's check this out. Sounds crazy. Don't know if I'm going to like it. A spider guy? Come on. So, and that's like half the movie. And he's like, whoa, I'm a spider. I was bitten by a spider. I can climb walls. I can do spider things. I have a whole song, blah, blah, blah. But then you stay for the movie for like a lot of other reasons. Like you like the characters and there's a whole story and there's Willem Dafoe making crazy faces. And right. And there's, get me pictures of Spider-Man. You know, there's a lot of, like, it builds on top of that. But like this movie is like, why would you go see this movie? It's like, well, it's a whole backwards movie. It is short-term memory loss. And well, I feel like it's that the whole time. We're like an hour into it. He's like, now let me tell you something else about people with my condition. And you're like, I get it kind of already.
I think that goes to your anecdote long, long ago in the podcast where you're like, the Toy Story creators were doing something super novel, but they would be very angry if the reviews talked about the technology first, even though that was technically the gimmick, right?
Yeah, same idea. So it's like, it is a good gimmick. I love the gimmick. I think it's a very fun gimmick. And the movie is super watchable because of it. But it's like all it is, I think.
So I want to piggyback on that because I think a lot of times I kind of judge a film by what it's going for. Because to me, I did enjoy watching it and I do like the gimmick. But I do feel like this movie's trying to be very smart and clever. And I don't feel like it is that clever. I don't think it's cerebral. It doesn't actually blow my mind or delve into my psyche. And maybe it's because I'm an idiot. Who knows? But here's the thing about intelligent people, Michael.
Tell me.
It's about communicating. No. I do think it's a bit. If you take away the pretension, it's a much more enjoyable film.
Yeah. So for some reason, I don't get any pretentious vibes at all. That's just me.
You know what's, you know, I think I have an unfair view because of people I know that really like the film.
Oh,
and
sure.
Because I read a couple reviews because I was just trying to make sure I understood what happened. And some of the reviews were like, this movie is really about how we all lie to ourselves. And I'm like, fuck off.
No.
In fact, I read one review that was like, how dare you call it a gimmick? a gimmick suggests that it's something flesh in the pan that has no substance. And I'm like, yeah, no, I know what I'm saying.
So I've seen a lot of terrible movies in my lifetime. And I think when a movie is super bad, it'll commit the sin of not even following its own premise. Like, it'll set up a gimmick and then just not even do that. Like, do you remember we saw that Netflix movie where he's like, I have an app that you can download and we'll set up dates with the app. Remember that? And then that was like 10 seconds of the movie. It was like a stupid Netflix teen movie. But this point is, they went for a gimmick and they really did it. And you're really going to have fun exploring that gimmick.
So this is now where it's transitioning to, why is this a good movie?
I mean, I didn't think about that, but say that would have been smart if I was doing that on purpose. Here's why it's a good movie.
You could have pretended.
They really went for that gimmick.
I think every actor in this movie gives an A+ performance.
Yeah, I mean, Carrie Ann Moss is just like there. Four. Yeah, I mean,
I so disagree. I thought Carrie Ann Moss did an amazing job. Like, I thought she was really good.
She was sad at one point.
Yeah. By the way, again, this description was terrible. Yeah. So at some point, like, she's a woman that he trusts, and she's just fucking with him. And this is sort of a, I think it's like supposed to be a more visual point that people just use him because of his condition. Like, even the hotel guy is exploiting him by charging him two different rooms, which is also very funny, where he just admits it to him. He's like, well, you're not gonna remember. But so, like, Carrie Moss does this thing where she's like, fuck you, and I hate you, and then, like, she says some horrible things about his dead wife, and he punches her, and she's like, well, now I am going to make you do something you don't want to do. And she leaves and comes back like 30 seconds later to say, this guy beat me and you need to go get him.
Yeah, and his memory's wiped, so he doesn't know.
Ah, so I thought she was really good.
So this movie is great because you do get all the good scenes. If you were to make a movie like this, they've already taken all the good bits. Like, as John said, the running scene, that was a great scene. So it's like they exploited their fun premise.
I still feel guilty about earlier when I was a little dismissive of Guy Pearce.
I love Guy Pearce.
Because he's kind of understated, too.
He's got a great voice, funny. Too. He's got like a deep voice, yeah.
His cheekbones, you could cut glass with them.
I feel like we haven't talked about how hot he is. Because he's hot.
We have not. He's kind of scrawny hot, but I'm into that. So
yeah, nothing wrong with that. Brad Pitt is super scrawny hot.
Depends on the movie.
Depends on the movie, though. It's true.
What is Mr. Pierce up to? Don't tell me. You know what? I think he was in Money Plane.
Money Plane. Is that a
I
real movie?
I know that movie because Kelsey Grammer was in it and it was very bad.
Yeah, Guy Pierce, I feel bad because he should be in more things. He's awesome.
You guys, I think actually Thomas Jane was in Money Plane.
Tom Jane.
Oh, God. Yeah, Tom Jane is in it. That's so funny.
Wow.
Okay. Anyway, sorry, scratch that. That's not anything.
Love it.
You're gonna have to do a lot of editing on this. So yeah, it's a fun gimmick. I actually kind of agree. I think if I hadn't read all those stupid reviews, it's not that cerebral of a film.
No, it's not.
But it's a fun time. And I think a lot of the things that could come off as pretentious are actually used pretty well, like the black and white stuff.
Wasn't the space movie of Christopher Nolan's way more pretentious? I never saw it. Interstellar, where there's like an hour of like a black hole. This is like an actual straightforward movie compared
to that.
And
then like the fourth dimension is fucking love. Fuck off, Christopher
Nolan.
So
this movie is not pretentious. I'm just going to declare that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Michael, now that we've made arguments on both sides, what is your grade? What is your verdict?
It's hard to say because we are both really convincing. So I feel like it's the best and the worst. I don't know. I'll give it a B.
I'm going to give it a B too, but tell us why.
Well, I kind of said all the reasons. That's the only problem with doing that segment is that's the reasons. Is it's good because it does the gimmick and it's bad because I feel like it's only a gimmick.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually give it a higher grade than my enjoyment because it is a movie that has kind of really stayed in the popular culture knowledge, right? Like, it's a movie people know. People get what you mean when you reference Memento.
Sounds like not in my perspective. Sounds like only pretentious dudes like this have really stuck with a movie.
I feel like I've seen it referenced in television shows a lot.
One television show.
More than one.
Which one?
What if it's only one?
It doesn't matter.
All
right, it matters.
Well, okay, can you like
Riff?
Yeah, can you riff a bit?
Just by myself.
Sam, get out of here. Riff.
Riff. Sam, what did you think of the movie?
I did not watch it.
What? You know, Guy Pearce is hot in the movie. Does that not appeal to you?
You know, was Guy Pearce not in The King's Speech?
That sounds... No, you could be right. Guy Pearce is like a guy.
I thought he...
He's Guy Pearce.
I thought he played King George's brother, like King Edward.
I think you're right. I think you're right, Sam.
Fun.
I don't know.
I'm good at rifting.
He was in LA Confidential. We're just going to read IMDb. This is the podcast. This is probably the worst episode. He was in The Rover. He was in Adventures of Priscilla, Queens of the Desert.
Ooh, that's a good one.
All right, let's stop. This is nonsense.
Was he in King's Speech?
Look at the IMDb page.
That would have been the first thing. King's... No, he's not in King's Speech. It would have been the first credit if he was. His first credit is Memento.
Skinny blonde guy who was in the King's Speech? Guy Pearce is Duke of Windsor in the King's Speech, Michael. God damn it. Learn how to read IMDb.
I'm on IMDb. It does not say King's Speech.
That's nonsense. It's not in sequential order.
So it does say King's Speech. It's not in the first form. I thought King's Speech would have been his biggest movie.
No, because he's a very minor part in it.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Point for me.
Point for
Sam. You looked at three movies and you're like, not going to scroll down.
I searched for Kings, but there was an apostrophe in Kings. All right? You happy?
I'm very happy.
All right.
Sam, yay. All the points to Sam.
All right. Kinos. Sam wins this episode. This goddamn horrible episode. What is the next film in this podcast?
Why don't we go through a little... It's John's pick this week. It's so we're John's... doing his favorite movie.
This is what he wants.
He was like, this movie or nothing.
We don't know what it is, but we're about to find out what John's favorite movie is.
John, what is it? John, you want to tell us?
No.
It's High School Musical!
Yeah, we won't sell you out. We ran the randomizer, and that's what it picked. So we're going to do that.
John, you love it.
Colleen, who are we sponsored by?
Mentos, fresh maker.
You say why they're good.
Mentos better. Mentos fresh and full of life. Mentos, the fresh maker. Did that explain it for you?
It did. I understand now. Because you would want it to be fresh. Mm-hmm. If you want it to make fresh.
I don't feel fresh. How can I be fresh?
Can we make fresh somehow? Let's make
Michael.
It.
Michael, yeah. Mentos.
Mementos. Mentos, sorry.
The Fresh Maker.
The Fresh Maker.
That was Flaherty's on
Films. That was Flaherty's on Films. So join us next week for High School Musical.
You guys, we're going to step it up next week.
It's going to be such a better episode, you guys.
It's gonna be so much
you
better.
Have no idea. We were kidding. We're kidding right now.
This is a joke episode.
Did you actually listen? God, you fell for it.
Right now.
We just mementoed you. You guys, we got you.
We're doubling your psyche with this
fake. We got episode. You. All right, and cut.
That was the worst.
Come on, move it. Let's go.
For the East High Wildcats,
we are days away from our biggest game of the year.
Basketball is everything.
Wildcats is everything.
You are so dedicated.
But when their star player steps off the court...
Any last minute sign up?
I'd like to audition, Miss Darvis.
And onto center stage...
I'll sing with her.
We're soaring, flying.
He'll show the entire school there's something to sing about.
Is this some kind of joke?
You're the team leader, not a singer.
Did you ever think maybe I could be both?
We're breaking free.
Our team is coming apart because of your singing thing.
High School Musical, a Disney Channel original movie. With the sweet life of Zach and Cody's Ashley Tisdale, Zac Efron, Vanessa Ann Hutchins, and Lucas Grabeel. High School Musical.